Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1, our message focuses on verse 11 to verse 20, but I'm going to read up to verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that since the Bible is God's word and we are God's children, please say it with me, the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love for us. We are grateful for the message that you have for us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit may speak to us at our level and that you may be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may sit. Another person I forgot to acknowledge is Percy. Where is Percy? You're welcome so much. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. I could mention you too, but I'm not going to. We are glad you are here as well. Being barren in ancient Israel was one of the most painful stigmas that a woman could face. And we see Hannah here not having children. And I want to believe that everywhere she went, she could feel people talking about her. Whenever she went to the marketplace or to draw water, there would be people looking at her, rolling their eyes, talking about the fact that she cannot have children. One way of dealing with childlessness was marrying a second wife. And I think this is what Elkanah did. This is why he married Peninnah, so that he could have children. Because a family that didn't have children, and especially sons, was at risk of losing the name of the family and the inheritance. Because sons were expected to carry on the name of the family. And so, even though Hannah is loved by her husband, the fact that Penina has children, and the fact that she is provoking her day in, day out, mocking her, teasing her, mistreating her for not having children, Hannah is depressed. She is disappointed. She is distressed. And so every year we are told they would go to Jerusalem, they would go to offer sacrifices, and Hannah would be feeling the pain, even though Elkanah tried to be as nice to her as he could. And this day, Anna has had enough. She cannot take it any longer. This time, she refused to eat. And we are told she went to a place and she began to pray. Hannah is depressed so much, she cannot even speak out. She is just not able to even speak. She is crying. And we are told in verse 5 and 6 that the Lord closed her womb. Twice. In verse 5 and in verse 6. And every time you see the author of the Bible doing that, he is trying to call your attention not to the person, but to God, to the Lord. Here, we must turn our attention to the Lord. Why? Because he is the one who is causing the problem. The author is telling us that it is God who closed her womb. So he's shifting attention from Hannah, from Penina, from Elkanah to the Lord. Because if it is the Lord who closed the womb, then it must be the Lord who is going to open the womb. The Lord that allows the storm is the same Lord who can calm the storm. The Lord that allows us to cry is the same Lord who will wipe out our tears. The Lord who closed Anna's womb is the same Lord who is going to open her womb. And so we have to see God here as being sovereign over all that is happening in this passage. And because this God is the one that closed Hannah's womb, Hannah has no other place to go for help. She cannot go to the priest to be helped. She cannot go to the doctors to be helped. She has to go to the same God. She has to turn to the Lord who has the key to close and to open. Hannah realizes that her help cannot come from the mountains. Her help can only come from the Lord. And when we understand that, it helps us understand the actions that she takes here. Turn with me to verse 9. We are told once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. The priest was sitting. Hannah stood up. And in her deep anguish, verse 10, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. In her deep anguish, this is someone that has reached the end of her life, the end of her road, the end of her hope. She has realized that if anything is going to happen, I have to turn to the Lord. And therefore, she turns to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. No razor will ever be used on his head. Let's look at this prayer. First, she acknowledges God's majesty, Almighty God. King James says, Lord of hosts. She knows who God is. See, every believer knows who the Lord is because the Lord has revealed himself to us. He has made himself known. We know who God is. When you know who God is, you address him as he is. Then she admits her place before God. She refers herself to the Lord as a servant. She admits her place before the Lord. And then she makes her request known to the Lord. If you would give me a son. And then she makes a vow. She says, Lord, even though I'm asking you to give me this son, I'm actually going to give back this son to you. So I'm not just asking for myself. There's a reason for this. Because at this time, Israel was going through a leadership crisis. Everyone was doing what was right in their eyes. So Israel was crying for a leader, just as Hannah was crying for a son. And while Hannah is praying for a son, see, she is also praying for the nation. Because she's saying that I'm going to give this son back to you. And of course, if you read, you will realize that Samuel, who was born, became one of the most prominent leaders in Israel. So this prayer does not only change Hannah's life, it is a prayer that affects the nation of Israel. As she cries bitterly in anguish, Hannah is playing a role that would make a difference in the nation of Israel. In her misery, in tears, she turns to the Lord, because it is only the Lord who could open her womb. The priest sees Hannah praying, and he didn't know that Hannah was praying. He could tell that her lips were moving, but she wasn't saying any words that he could hear. And he concluded that she must have been drunk. And he accuses her. And Hannah tells her, in verse 15, Hannah says, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. See, the priest didn't hear Hannah's prayer, but the Lord heard her prayer. The Lord saw her tears of faith. In deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. We are told in verse 13, she was praying in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. I don't know if you have found yourself in a situation where you are so deeply troubled as a Christian And you cannot even speak out. You want to pray. You want to express how you feel. But the best way you can do it is just to cry your tears out and let your heart speak to the Lord. And God hears that prayer. It is a desperate prayer. It is a sincere prayer. It is a prayer that reaches God's ears. It is a prayer that God pays attention to. When is the last time you cried in your prayers? I'm not saying this should be a habit. I'm not saying you should force yourself to cry. But when is the last time you are so moved that when you went before the Lord, you just couldn't say a word? You just allow tears to flow. You are just sobbing because you are so moved that it's only your heart that was speaking to the Lord. And you are sure that you had that fellowship because your heart and the Lord's heart were in fellowship at that moment. See, this is what I call the logic of faith. I have said here, or maybe somewhere else, that one danger of American Christianity and the West in general is that we fail to understand, to realize, to appreciate that there are things that we don't understand about God. We fail to realize, appreciate, and understand that God is spirit. And there's a lot of spiritual things that are happening in our lives because our God has power beyond what we can imagine, beyond what we can ask. We approach Christianity with logic. We try to explain everything, and if we don't understand it, then we don't want it. We fail to realize that this God that we believe in, you and I will never fully understand him. And if you fully think and feel that you understand God, then you are talking about a different God. Maybe you are referring to a God of your own imagination. Because this God of the Bible is mysterious. And we must be comfortable and peaceful enough to realize that there is a lot we don't understand about him, and to desire to continually connect with him. There is a spiritual experience that some of us need just to allow God to connect with us so that our minds and our thinking and our perspective can be transformed. Who among us understands how God forgives sins? See, you have to accept it by faith. You accept it because he has said it. He has promised it. But you cannot explain how God forgives sins. Who among us understands how God saves people? We have to accept it and believe it, because we cannot exactly explain how he does it, but we know that God saves. It's the work of the Spirit. And because of that, it's important for us to be spiritually sensitive. It's always important for us to know that God has the freedom to surprise us. He has the freedom to use us. He has the freedom to reveal his power and himself and his ways to us. It's called the logic of faith. Because of the logic of faith, we must be willing to say, since this God is fully involved in my life, then I will turn to him for help. The logic of faith says, since the Lord is sovereign over all my problems and the problems of the world, I am going to cry out to him. The logic of faith says, because the Lord knows me, and because I know him and I trust him, I am going to rely on him. You see, the logic of faith changes the way we see things. It changes the way we approach things. When you approach things with the logic of faith, you become more hopeful because you are basing your hope on the sovereign God. There are so many things, brothers and sisters, things of faith that may not make sense to us. There are so many things of faith that we will take time to comprehend as we grow in this relationship with Jesus Christ. But it has to be our willingness to allow God to teach us and to take us through those corners, those valleys and mountains, so that we can experience him more. It has to be our willingness to turn to him and express every pain, every sorrow that we feel. Because God is not only sovereign over what I am facing, he is sovereign over everything. He can not only meet my needs, he can meet the needs of the world. And that is happening here with Hannah. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, after Hannah has prayed, she has explained herself to priest, and Eli tells her, may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. In verse 18, she says, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She was no longer sad. Not because her prayer has been answered, but because she knows that she has addressed the one who is able to change her circumstance. The fact that she was able to address God, to pour her soul to the Lord, was enough to change her attitude. She went to pray in deep anguish. She comes out from her prayer filled with peace and hope. See, prayer changes us. If you are truly a prayerful person, your prayer will transform you. That's why, let me give you a good advice here. If you have a problem with me, okay, sometimes I talk with you and you feel bothered. There are people, after I've talked with them, they feel more discouraged than they were before. Pray for me. And once you begin to pray for me, God will begin to change you. If there is a person in your life that bothers you, someone that is a thorn in your flesh, could be your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your neighbor. That noisy neighbor. Could be your co-worker. This person has become a thorn in your flesh. He or she is the person that every time you see him or her, your day is ruined. You just know it. You can feel it. Here is the advice for you. Pray for that person. Sincerely, begin praying for that person and you will start seeing the same person differently. Because God, through your prayers, he will begin to minister to you. And this will be the same person you will see, the same person that used to ruin your day, but now you will see them and you will thank God for them. Because God has used them to move you to pray. So this is what makes us different as Christians. This is a tool that God has given us so that we can continue to enjoy our fellowship, but we can also continue to experience peace. We pray even for those who hate us. And the more they hate us, the more we pray for them. And the more we pray for them, the more God transforms us into the image of his Son. The more we will be able to say, even on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Pray for that person. Forget about the anger and the bitterness that you are keeping, you are harboring in your heart. And start praying for that person. Cry out to the Lord. I know that we have families that don't talk to one another. We have sons and daughters that don't talk to their fathers and their mothers. We have parents that have been neglected and ignored because their sons and their daughters are no longer talking with them because of something that happened in their lives. That should not happen if you call yourself a Christian. It shouldn't. If you believe that God has forgiven you, you should have the capacity to forgive others as well. Am I speaking to someone here? Hannah's prayer transforms her attitude. You see, the logic of faith reminds us that in all things, God works together for good. In all things, that means good things and bad things. God is able through all those things to bring out something good for us and for his glory. The logic of faith reminds us that there is someone who has the answer. It reminds us that when we think we are at the end, we are not at the end. The logic of faith reminds us that God has the last word. Here is the message that I have for you. Our tears of faith will not escape God's attention. Our tears of faith will not escape God's attention. What happens to you when someone that you love is crying? For me, when my wife cries, it breaks my heart. In fact, I'm reminded of a day, I think it was 2 years after our marriage. I'm still recovering But I was a very angry person. Very, like you have never seen that. And I remember one day, I was angry and my wife was frightened. And she began to cry. And you know, no one looks beautiful when they are crying. No one. If someone tells you are beautiful when you are crying, just know they want you to stop. And so I looked at her, and I had never seen her in that, the facial expression. I could just see the pain that I was causing her. And that was the beginning of my healing. Because God used that moment to open my eyes to the pain that I was causing my wife. And I asked her to pray for me. I asked her, please pray with me. And she, I believe, continues to pray for me. I began to pray too. Now, if you ask her today, she will tell you that I have recovered. But I will tell you that I'm still recovering. I'm not there yet. But every time I feel that bitterness, the picture that comes to me, the image that comes to me is the image of my wife shedding tears. And that breaks me down. And I hate it every time I feel like someone is about to make me angry. Because that's the image that comes to me. And I know the damage that it causes. And I said, I'm still recovering. As a child of God, when you are deeply moved so that you turn to God in tears, those tears of faith will not escape God's attention. He is your Father. And as our loving Father, He will continue to shower you with His love. And when you are moved to that anguish, God is right there with you. And every time you turn to Him sincerely, something happens to you. He ministers to you in a way that transforms you. Because our tears of faith will not escape His attention. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I acknowledge your presence in our lives. Lord, you love us, you care for us, you give us opportunities to know you more, to acknowledge your presence, to remind ourselves that we have a Father who loves us, a Father who cares for us, a Father who is concerned about everything in our lives. And Lord, those of us that believe in your Son Jesus can call you our Father, but those of us who don't cannot, because they don't have a relationship with you. And if there's anyone among us or anyone that is listening to us, I pray that your Holy Spirit may reach unto that person and move them to turn to you, to cry to you for salvation, for forgiveness. I know that you are able to do this in ways that are known to you. And I'm just praying that you may accomplish it for your glory and not for us. Therefore, for all of us that are here, Lord, I pray that you may minister to us in your own way through your word, and that your word may accomplish what you want to accomplish this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.